Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's a 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's a 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County, in the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America. It's Friday, September 10th, and our guest today is Grandfather Red Elk. This is the morning before he's going to have a big show on Coast to Coast AM tonight, and with Ian Punnett, I want to encourage everybody to listen to that show or to sign up for StreamLink and listen for it the next day. Be sure and visit his website at redelk.org. Anyway, how are you today, Grandfather?
I'm sore, but okay, thank you.
What do you think about this whole hurricane thing?
Well, I flat out, and I'll do the best I can to explain to the listeners and Coast to Coast tonight. Dad used the Tsunami, Dad the creator of all things, whether you call him Gad, Dad, Mom, or whatever, it doesn't really matter. I'm comfortable with that. But the Tsunami was a major warning to everybody in the world to, you know, you're not paying attention to me. Well, now this one comes along, and this one is not just to the whole world, but is to the leaders, the United States of America, of many of the problems on Earth. And it's a huge spanking. Only this one will not cease. Well, it can, but it doesn't look like it will. This will be far-reaching. I got a small group that I shared with, get up and get gas and stuff like that, long before the TV started saying anything about gas prices. And I told about the price of everything is going to go, you know, quite a bit higher. Electricity, it takes gas to run the trucks to keep the wires going. And car insurance and house insurance, because the companies want to, you know, they got hit real hard. And they want to make their money. And they got to pay their bills. They want to stay in business. And that means that you and I are going to pay for them to do that. And then I shared that there's the problem of all that sewage and stuff that it's going to hit the lake and eventually seep into the ocean. It's going to affect all the, and I do mean this when I say it, all the ocean life. In time, it will have an effect on everything around our world, Atlantic and Pacific. The further away to a much, much lesser degree, but there'll be strange diseases in the fish and stuff. And it's not going to end. Unless we as a world people, hear me, world people, can unite and just say, you know, Dad, I guess we have been spanked and really been serving a lot of lip service, but not real service or no service at all. And I apologize. And when they really mean it, and 85% to 87% do that worldwide, doesn't look feasible, does it? But then, you know, within a matter of moments to a matter of months, all the environment would be cleansed by him in some mysterious way. And we'd be getting back with, well, how do you put it, that he'd make things right again. But we've been paying just more or less lip service to the Creator. To me, this was just a big spanking. And the kids don't even know they've been spanked. So, and, you know, we've got to do something about our own individual self. We cannot do, you know, have somebody else do it. I've got to work on myself, and I got to share with you, the listeners, what I can actually see as the need that to make things better or continue on the course that we're now on. It's going to end up in Armageddon. And then after that, it'll take some time, but the earth will be cleaned, except most of us won't be here to enjoy it. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sure been a heart-wrenching situation down there. And I guess people really don't put it together with our behavior. But I was reading a few months ago about, I mean, you and I are Bible believers, and a lot of people are out there too. And there was somebody on the net that was keeping record of the State Department or the White House and the actions or pronouncements that either one or both were making that had to do with Israel, forcing Israel to do things. For instance, the Prime Minister of Israel recently revealed to the Chief Rabbi of Israel that the reason why they're having to pull out of Gaza and Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank, is that the United States government ordered him to do it, and he had no choice. You know,
I'm not sure if that's true. Let's face it, you and I weren't there at all the decision making, so all we can do is go on rumors. You know.
Well, like I said, the Chief Rabbi of Israel said this is what the Prime Minister told him, and I can't help noticing that right after that whole thing with Gaza, you know, we get hit with this hurricane. And anyway, this fellow I was telling you about that was keeping a census had been doing this for years and couldn't help but notice that every time we do something against Israel, that within 24, even to 48 hours, you know, we were getting earthquakes, sometimes even hurricanes. And so anyway...
Well, I cannot say that that's not untrue. I just can't, I wasn't there. So.
I'll have to find that reference
edit it. But in my way, you could tell me, or that man himself can tell me, and I can pretty much believe what he says. If he claims he was actually there and heard the conversation and stuff, I can pretty much guess it. That he's correct, but I cannot guarantee that he's not, spreading rumors or tilting things to have people understand his insight or whatnot. One of the problems that we have throughout all of our earth is that we want to believe what we want to believe, and. Without actually being there personally, you yourself, you're just going to have to say a good possibility, maybe even an excellent possibility, but I don't know. And in this case, I don't know. I know that there is one thing that people in general are not doing. I've had people, are you for Bush or against Bush? Frankly, I think that that's my business. But I am for that, the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And in my life, and it's not always easy, but in my life, I let Dad be my king. I don't let the Queen of England or Bush or anybody else be my... supreme ruler, if you want. But there's one thing that the scriptures very firmly speak of, the good book, and that is to pray for the governments, your government.
Right.
And that's to everybody, no matter what government they live under. And it doesn't say, how do we put it?
Actually, what it says is that the people, more or less says that the people get the government that they deserve, and that the governments that are over people are the governments that have been ordained by God for them, which indicates that people get what they deserve, and, you know, when the wicked rule...
I don't think it says you get what you deserve.
It doesn't, but it does...
You'd have to tell me where to look.
It does say that the governments that are put over people are those that are ordained by God. And that.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that you get what you deserve.
Well...
God's handing you that. Well, hold on.
It's kind of a theological conclusion you have to come to.
Well, don't do that. basically... You're right. We do get what we deserve. If we're not obeying, then and not praying for our government. He's warned the Jews in the first place, if you want me to step down so a man can stand on the throne, this is all the stuff that's going, that man's going to do. And they said, we don't care. We want to be able to see our leader, you know. So they very diligently told him, basically, we don't want you to be our king. We want you to be like the Queen of England today.
Right.
You know, somebody who's just a godhead, you know.
Yeah,
and
yet the
government is not run by the queen, and that's what they really was asking God to do.
They wanted to have the ark and idol in the same room, and
they
didn't go as far as the rest of the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes just totally turned their back and left. But they had a Jew.
But nevertheless, what I'm getting at is we get what we deserve, but why are we deserving it?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, how many Christians, and I'm speaking Christian, just Christian, how many Christians every single day pray for the government? Now, you know, it doesn't matter what the government's doing, good or bad. Do you pray for them? And that's all he asks us to do. And it is, you know, occasionally miss a day, yes, that's okay. But how many people are doing it? I got a phone call here just last week at a brother that he and I talked with over the last 3.5 years or so, and he considers himself a staunch Bible believer and Christian, and frankly, he's pretty darn good, but he started spewing out, literally saying that he wanted Bush to go to hell. I said, you don't mean that. He said, oh, but I do. That's where he deserves. And I thought, here's a guy. He calls himself a Christian, talks about love, and yet he's putting himself in God's feet.
Yeah.
And this is not what God wants. God just says, pray for your government. You know, God can change. If you don't like what your government's doing and you're doing your job, God can change that government.
Yeah.
But you literally got to point to yourself. And I told him, you got a Bible there? And he says, yeah. I says, go pick it up. And he picked it up. He says, I got it. He called him out of New York. And I says, now, you got a lighter or a match? He says, I got matches. I said, burn it. Burn the Bible? I says, yeah. The Bible says don't take a dot or a jittle out of this. And you are. And you don't care what the Bible says. You care about your own writings of the Bible. Well, that's all it took. He's trying to phone down, and I doubt I'll hear from him again. But this is a problem that we have, folks, is if God doesn't do what we like, we're going to throw a little tantrum. Well, he's had enough of your tantrum. He's had enough of mine. And he's warned many times over the centuries. And it's time to go to the back of the barn and get one heck of a whipping.
Well, I know, you know, I talked with my wife about this once in a while. I said, have you noticed what a big drought we're in? And I said, do you know, the Missouri River, upper reaches of the Missouri River is just totally dried out. I saw a picture of a boat landing marina up there. But it was literally sitting in the middle of the prairie a mile away from the water.
Well, that's where you switch from boats to mud boats.
Right. And but I said, you know, do you know anybody that doesn't complain when it rains? You know, and I said, a complaint's as good as a prayer. I said, and, you know, if somebody this week on TV, one of the lawmakers, I don't know if they're a Democrat or Republican, but they just said, you know, everybody's blaming Bush. They said if it was known, if the scientists today, and this is almost a quote, this woman said, if the scientists discovered today that the sun was going to go dark, somebody in the last 15 minutes would blame Bush.
Or whatever president's on board.
Oh, yeah, it's just kind of stupid.
Well, anyway, there you have it. That is, in my opinion, why we have Katrina, why we have the tsunami. Why we're facing military action on our land and we're going to lose the whole thing. I Look, folks, I don't care if you buy this or not, but it's there. And it's pretty darn cheap. It's about $22 for a 2-hour and 40-minute DVD. And did you receive one yet, brother?
Oh, not yet. And I was, I guess I got ahead of myself and didn't tell everybody they need to go to your website and get this DVD.
But anyway, I did spend 69 days of fasting. Now understand, I did it using vitamins, minerals. I wasn't going to be stupid and die fasting. But I lost 79 pounds, if I remember right, in 69 days. And in that time, I had over a period of 3 days quite a vision. Day two took off where day one left. Day three took off where day two left. And it just made me sick to my stomach. I'm serious, folks. I hope you aren't eating, but I wanted to go vomit. And anyway, it's on DVD. And all I can say is we taped 11 and a half hours. It got cut down to 2 hours and 40 minutes. So you're not getting all of it, but you're getting one heck of a good taste of it.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Your vision's on your website, and I got to say, after having read your vision and after comparing it with the only thing it compares to, it really eclipses the vision that was had by Standing Wolf, who was the teacher that said that he was a lifetime Apache. It was Tom Brown Jr.'s teacher. Tom Brown
and mine.
And did you met Standing or
grandfather?
Yeah,
he came and taught me three times.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope.
But he was the one that talked about that there was someday would be a the skies would turn red and we would have a year to get ready and we'd have to live in the wilderness and so forth. And Standing Wolf, yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I had a dream where I got a telephone call. This is really interesting, and it was I don't know, maybe six folks. This is going back to maybe the fall of 1995, and I had read the vision maybe 3 or 4 months before that. Anyway, I dreamed that I got a telephone call from somebody, and I was walking past the telephone booth, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and he said, listen, he says, stay right there, he says, don't go anywhere until I come and get you. And I said, who is this? He says, Grandfather Standing Wolf. End of the dream. It kind of shook me up. So I kind of feel like, you know, when the time comes, you know, mm-hmm. he's going to help folks out.
Well, anyway, again, I say, I'm not out pushing this, and it really ticks the company off, in a sense. Why don't you push it? Well, I feel uncomfortable having salesmen push at me, so I don't like it. And yet, for those people that are interested, it's there. Buy it if you want. Don't if you want. If you do buy it, and if you believe in it, and please don't believe anything I tell you ever. You're going to have to check this through your own way in prayer and your heart feeling and gut feeling. But don't believe me. Just don't go out and accept it. But nevertheless, if you feel right about it, then share it with others. Lisa Lionel on Art Bell Show, she called, you know, to make arrangements for tonight. And she said, don't you talk about anything but doom and gloom? And I laughed. I said, Lisa, don't you understand that I always tell you there is hope if you get right? I says, I'm telling people what is going to take place and is already we're well in. And if it scares the hell out of them, good. That's what is needed. If it makes them open their eyes, fine. If it puts them back on their knees, great. That's what it is needed. That is the hope. That this doom and gloom you're talking about is what this is all about. Change. You know, those people unwilling to change are not just killing themselves and their children and their loved ones and family. They're killing mine, too, dang it.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all on the same little ship out here in space. And I'm running around yelling, get your life preservers or get to bailing. And so you got a choice, get your life preservers or get to bailing.
We'd like to ask the Prophecy Keepers audience to please pray that things will go well for you tonight and that the audience will do what the Creator suggests they do.
Well, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I'll share something with all. I know I'm in the enemy's camp with Art Bell's show. I said a couple of things and didn't go well with Mr. Bell. Animals don't have souls. And
they have spirits.
Well, yeah, they have God awareness. So does a tree, and so does a rock.
Sure.
And
Art just doesn't understand.
But nevertheless, he didn't hear the rest that I said. That they automatically go to heaven. They do have a heaven for dogs and cats and horses. It's because they're not doing anything wrong. They're doing exactly what God tells them to do. You know, backing us up. And, well, all he heard is animals don't have souls, and that's all it wrote. And then I made a statement with Nori and telling people, literally, you know, if you've done something against somebody, you hold anger against somebody, then get a hold of them and apologize. And, you know, confess your sins one to another. Sin means disobedience to God. God wants you to love, not to hate. And, but I couldn't think of the word, confessional, and I couldn't think of the word pastor. I was on a roll, so I said, don't go to a dweeb in a box. but in truth, that's basically it. Some dweeb in a box telling you, come to me and I'll give you some rosary things to say, and everything's hunky dory. Well, it makes you feel good, but does it help the one that did wrong to you? Does it? No, it doesn't. They didn't even know that you went to that dweeb in the box. Try to make contact with the one that did you wrong or that you're doing wrong with or to. And if they don't accept it, that's their problem. If you do what Dad tells you to do, that's all you have to worry about. That's your only concern, you and Papa. But anyway, She told me, I want a list of 20 things that you can talk about. Now, I never heard of such a thing. I know some of the people that go on shows, or art show, and I've been on it five times previously. And So, all right, I wrote a 22 or so things, and I said, if that's not enough, then I got more. And then I hear that they wanted to choose what I could talk about. Well, so far that hasn't happened. And hopefully tonight will probably be my last time on the Art Bell Coast to Coast show, because I'm going to lay it on the line, just like I'm laying it on the line with you people. Like me or not, hate me or love me, I don't care. But do the honor of at least listening and thinking about what I say. That's a wise thing to do. And anyway, I'm going to share with them what I'm sharing with you. Ship, you know, shape up or ship out. We've gone from, we're on the edge of being Nineveh, who was going to be destroyed in 3 days. They repented. They turned away from disobedience to God. Repent means turn away from. Sin means disobedience to God. And they were spared. But further on down in their city, country life, their kids or somebody returned to it, and they got beat just like he said he would. But that's all right. They took care of themselves. We are Nineveh. The earth is Nineveh. You and I are Ninevites in that sense. Now, if we will turn away from disobeying God, then we will be spared. But the way things are going at this moment is that we are leaving the time of Nineveh, and we are well into the time of building the boat of Noah. Literally, you're going to help build the boat, or you're going to sit out there and party until the waters start coming and then pound on the side of the boat to get in. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So, again, hear me. Pay attention at least enough to think about what I say. If you want to turn this off, you got to dial, turn it off. If you're mad at me for telling things that I know as an inner Hioka and can compare with things that I know of Indian prophecies as well as scriptural prophecies, you know, that's up to you. It's totally up to the listeners. Don't believe a word I say, but please do yourself a favor and hear me out, and then cuss me out if you want to. And then go partying, grab yourself a beer, get snockered, and kiss your rear end goodbye.
Yeah, that'd be about it. And, you know, it's not like you're asking people to join a particular church.
No, I hate churches. I detest.
Faith or whatever. It's,
yeah. I'm just saying, you know, we can, I do, and the other 11 of the 12 of us in Ohio can do, have a personal relationship with the Creator, the all three in one. Our boss is God, and He tells us what to do and what not to do. And I'm dead serious. Talks, tells. And we go to the Scriptures to check it out to see if it corresponds with something in Scripture. We check 3 times on everything. And if it corresponds, fine. If not, we give them the eagle finger. And tell them to get lost, because Lucifer is real and does come as an angel of light. He's tried to fool me many times, and I've caught him in the act and told him to get bent and get lost. And it, so far, you know, it's worked for the 12 in Hioka.
Yep.
And it can work for you. Let Dad back on the throne of kingship, leadership, to you. Never mind to your mom or your dad and your grandparents and your wife or your husband or your preacher. To you.
Now, who do you recommend people pray to? You pray?
Oh, yeah.
I just
recommend, you know, I deal with all kinds of people. Creator Allah. That's their cultural name for God. Most people call God God. Some say cosmos. Some have her, you know, she, her. Big deal. The Creator has no sex whatsoever. And I call him he because I'm comfortable with it. And basically, as long as you know that your heart, not just your tongue, but connected to the heart, is aimed at the great whatever, he understands. And if it means going to a sweat lodge to do it, instead of a white man's big fancy building, big deal. Actually, I prefer the sweat lodge. It's much more natural. But I'm not going to tell you turn Indian. My gosh, you got your cultural ways too. But talk to the creator. And the word creator is, you know, God, he, she. There's no sex in the word creator. The great maker, the great gardener, the great spirit. And so just pray in your own way. But know that you're literally talking to a real being. And in however traditional or cultural or new age way you feel about, know it. And it will be. He knows his name. And if your heart is not connected to your tongue, it is white noise to him, and it's just like going about your day's work with a radio on and paying little attention except for the noise.
And it's okay, to be your own prophet, to do-it-yourself survival kit. I mean, if you knew what's coming before it comes, you don't have to worry about, have I got my food stored and, have I got my property, I went through that, between 1981 and.
Sure, and you could be downtown having a coffee when your house burns.
Sure. You're right, but I guess about 1994 or so, I was told not to worry about it anymore, that, during a time of trouble, that I'll go to a safe place. And
if you're right with the Creator, look what he did with Mary and Joseph. In the middle of the night, he got him up out of bed and said, grab the kid and get out of Dodge now. And they left Jerusalem or Bethlehem, I don't know where they were sleeping.
Probably Nazareth, yeah.
Yeah, and the king went in and killed all the kids. But if you're right with the Creator, he'll tell you that. And guess what? He probably won't tell you you better take all your keepsakes, your furniture, your this and that, and pets and everything. Get up and go now. And by golly, you better get up and go. If you can grab a few things on the way, do it, But
don't look
move
back.
It.
Yeah, don't look back or you're... Kinda
if
like,
you're right with Dad, Dad's going to be right with you.
Kind of like don't look back and you turn into a pillar of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even the Hopis say, when there's a time coming that they said something similar. I can't remember exactly what they said that when it was referring to the invasion. They said that when this happens, get up on your rooftops and.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting. So,
Michael Scullion has got that map out after the Earth flips, and showing what the world will look like in the United States, the safe places, and all that. And so does a woman. I wish I could remember her name.
Lori Adele Toy.
Oh, okay, yeah, Toy. That hits a bell in my brain. It's not. Sound like a BB in a boxcar, man. It's a bill. But nevertheless, yes, and her map is almost identical. But what you people out there don't realize is that the Indians have had a map long before their great-grandmothers were ever thinking of getting married and in the end time producing what they have called Scullion and Toy. We had a map, too, and have a map. Same thing.
Yeah, I'm looking for her website right now. Before I left Utah, and shortly after Scullion started talking about these things, I talked with a bunch of people. It was about a dozen people on this subject that, of course, I talked to about 100 total, but, upwards of a dozen of them had all seen the same kind of flooding, and... One person even said that her dad had very, very, very detailed information. You know, exactly what, much more detailed than you could possibly imagine about, you know, what was going to be flooded.
Is this
you know,
an Indian woman?
No, they were Latter-day Saints. But, yeah, there's a lot of people. You see, Mad Bear Anderson, who was a founder of the American Indian Unity Movement, he visited Utah back in the early 70s. I know the person that drove out to New York and picked him up and brought him back. But as he was coming down the Emigration Canyon on the interstate, he made the driver stop, and he got out and was acting really weird. And when he got back in, he looked kind of shaken, and the driver said, "You know, hey, what's going on?" And he just said, "Oh, it's such a shame. It's so beautiful." And she said, "What?" She says, "Oh," she says, "that valley." He says, "It's going to be flooded." And he said, "The entire valley." A lot of people people in Salt Lake Valley, all you have to do is just look up at what they call the bench, and you realize that entire valley used to be underwater, and that the benches is what they call the lower parts. You can actually see the water level, you know, was at about 4,500 feet elevation, or well, at least that's what the elevation is now. But Scallion points out that the entire western U.S. is on a magma bubble, and that rises and lowers.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Will Blueauer speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And the Hopi elders have said that they're going to get flooding, I believe, all the way up to Second Mesa. And they said they're going to have to build boats to leave where they are to go over to Four Corners to build their new tribe. So this is not just your New Age nut that's talking about the flooding. This is a lot of people.
Well, where I live, right here where I'm speaking from my phone, I'm in eastern Washington, 93 miles from the outskirts of Seattle, off of I-90. And literally, if you're going to Seattle on I-90, you see my house as you drop right by. But this whole county, Kittitas County, was built and is built on lava stones from Mount Rainier. And I'm not going to be at all surprised if it isn't this fall towards winter. The mountain chains start blowing up. And I saw Mount Rainier blow up. Oh, a little less than a fourth of its top went straight up in the air, flipped straight over, or rolled right over, so the tip was down, and it came down and filled the hole that it just left, you know, blew out of. And literally plugged that dang hole. And in so doing, it's such a huge mass, and it came down so fast that it created air pressure throughout all the tunnels that these places have had and do have. That go, I'm not talking about man-made, I'm talking about lava-made. And by the way, Mel's Hole is one of these that I'm speaking of, and connected down to other areas and other people. But nevertheless, 1 inch, it's like going and turning on a pneumatic hose, you know, air hose, and hitting that little lever on the end, and air shoots out. And it just blows holes all through Kittitas County, 1 inch to 6 foot wide. Just air pressure, and blowing these stones up and the earth up. And, oh, man, and I'm right here where it's at. And I got Big and Little Mount Si, just about, roughly 60 miles from me, towards Seattle. It's going to blow. And I got Mount Rainier. I got Mount St. Helens, Mount Adams, and so on and so forth, the chain, that are basically close to me. And I've seen Rainier. I've seen St. Helens, and I've seen Si, Big and Little Si, do their activity. And I'm right there. I lived where St. Helens was at. I was in the blue zone. I was, you know, the only people allowed there were the ones that lived there. And all the Indians of that area, after that happened, they left because of the prophecy. Big Sister's going to wake up, and then the two brothers are going to wake up and fight over her, and all three of them are going to blow up. And now they're well inland. They're into Spokane and areas there. They left. They have not come back. And people ask me, Red Elk, you know, they're worried about me. They hear about all the volcano and the earthquakes and stuff, and there's going to be a 7.2 come rolling right alongside Washington's coast from Portland, Oregon area. I'm not saying Portland itself, but from that direction up towards Seattle. A big one, 7.2. And people be claiming 7.3. But audibly, I was told, some will say 7.3, but it's 7.2. And, I mean, as audible as I'm speaking. And here I am in this whole mess. And get out, Retta, get out. My gosh, the panic buttons that have been touched, and people are worried about Red Elk and his family. And I'm not. And I tell you why. Because I do believe in the Creator's word. I do believe that if I am right with the Creator, that he'll get me up in the middle of the night and say, grab the kids and get out of Dodge. And believe me, I know where to go. He's already told me where to go. And I'll get there in a hurry. We had a fire here just a little over a month ago. Roared right by my house, literally across the two-lane road here. And darn near destroyed a number of homes. And we were evicted again, evacuated again. You know, I walked in this house and I have belongings that you wouldn't believe. I have sacred objects here that can never be replaced. And I looked around and I just picked up a few clothes, a few things to grab, a bite to eat, and threw it in the car. I had my camping gear, sleeping bags, and the tent that I normally use, got in my truck, and I left. And I was interviewed. Are you an evacuee? And I, yeah. And, well, they're looking all over my truck, and all they see is this little pile of stuff. And they said, well, what did you take? We're curious. And I told them, I said, I got my pipe, I got my medicine bag, and I've got the words, and I got my good F-150, and I got my wife and children, and I got my camping gear. I got something to eat, and that's all I need. The rest can burn down, you know. And they were really amazed. My guys across the freeway from me, these people were loading their, you know, horse trailers up with stuff, their pickups and cars, you know, all from the same family, just loading everything up. And I just walked away and left it. All I really care about is my relationship with my living God and my relationship with my living family, which were right here, and we were all together. What more can a person ask for?
Not much.
We started with nothing. I got so much stuff here. I'd pine over it. I need an electric grill or something, and oh, gee, it burns. Or I wish I had my family photos. But big deal, when I die and my wife dies, chances are most of those people in the photos, my grandchildren have no idea who they are. It's just a bunch of pictures. Big deal. It's only memories to me. And I don't need pictures to remind me of these people. So, big deal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, by the way, you were... Lori Toy's website is IamAmerica.com.
Okay, thank you.
IamAmerica.com.
And Scullion, I managed to spell his name right, and just by typing in Scullion, I finally found him on search. So. But
I think his is MatrixInstitute.com is his website, and they both got the maps. They both pretty much show that that the destruction is going to go just about all the way up to Seattle. I think a Toy's book shows,
off Seattle. You can kiss off my land.
Yeah.
I saw a 40-foot wall of water, literally breakthrough Snoqualmie Pass, coming east into eastern Washington, and 40-foot of it, of this water, went right over all my land. And then when it settled down where my trailer house was at, I have 9.21 acres. And when it was all over, I had a tiny little Gilligan's Island, a quarter of an acre or less, with the trailer here.
Yep.
But I never survived that 40-foot of water rolling over my head.
No, my son's up there in Seattle, too, so he knows the signs when to get out.
Well, I tell you, my brother, there are, over the last year, a little bit longer, many people that I hear about through people that know them personally have gotten real antsy and are already moving or have moved and out of the Seattle area. Don't know why. They're not being told by any god particularly or anything. Matter of fact, a few of them are what they practice is paganism and that type of stuff. But Dad knows their heart, and he's touching these hearts. I got a brother that lives in Everett, Washington, millionaire. And do you think I can convince him to spend some of that money in a safe area and build a little area? No. But that's all right. It's his path. We all got to die anyway sometime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't it interesting? Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard to get people to think. We've found, there's a few people that are trying to get ready, but it's always underfunded, and I don't know. It's just kind of hard to know.
In my case, the Creator told me to get ready, and I've been out looking for land, and three times I found exactly what is right. But two of those three times, they were sold the day before I got there. The realtor didn't know it. The third time, we put escrow money down on it, and then it turned out that the owner didn't know where his property lines were, and there was a no easement thing that a small group of homeowners on this 6.5-mile road just said, we're it. We're not letting anybody in. And it couldn't break the easement. So we got our money back. And so I got no place to go that I've got my name on.
Yeah.
But I know exactly where I am to go. And I have friends there that I'll get there. And I can build a little sweat lodge type dome if I don't have a tent with me. And what is a house? It's a place to stay out of the weather, cook if you need to inside, and sleep. And a little 10-foot dome. It's made for, I can throw stones together, make a sharp edge, and cut a little stick.
Hey, after what happens, property. I mean, right now, you know, there's people trying to figure out how to get their insurance claims. I heard them talking on, I listened to Fox, and people, well, I don't, they said, well, I don't know who my insurance company is, I just know who my agent is, you know. And, you know, they have their records, and, you know, when there's a general destruction. And the destruction,
that agent might be one of those bodies.
Yeah, right, you know, when there's enough destructions, there's not going to be any, everything's computerized, all the computer records are eventually going to be destroyed. Property records are going to mean nothing. There's going to be so few people left in the world that it'll be a completely different situation after this thing's completely over.
Well, I live 20 and a half or 22 and a half miles from Ellensburg, Washington, and about 10 and a half or so from Cleveland, Washington. And quite a ways, mile-wise, you know. And I knew about the gas problem coming and all that, yes. And, but I'm still pretty far, and I'm stomping around with this dang toe off and never healed quite right, and it's painful. It hurts to lay down, sit down, stand up, walk. And I'm not going to be walking any 20 miles easily. But still, transportation to get there is needed. So we're kind of forced to go by car. And yes, I do know how to teleport, but I'm ordered never to use it until I'm told to. I've been told to. And I have done it. It can be done by anybody. And I sell that on my site. If you think you can do it, you know, anybody can.
Hey, Mad Bear Anderson did it.
Yes. Matter of fact, it was Mad Bear Anderson that I replaced in the Inner Hioka.
Ah.
But nevertheless, I advise you people, you know, go and get a bike. I didn't hear that thought from somebody. That's a good idea. That's a great idea. If you're going to get a bike, try, you know, don't go getting something with 12, 15, 18, 22 speeds. That's just more things that'll go wrong to get repaired. If you can do it, get a single-speed bicycle, less mechanical problems. But the ultimate thing, and I've had these for years, I do more and talk about it, I do it. I have a fat-tired foot scooter, push scooter, they call them. And I've got it outside right here now, and I've had it for years. And I also have one of those fold-up scooters in one of my cars. The fold-up scooter is great on pavement. It isn't worth ding on any dirt or mud or gravel. But the other one is good all the way around, but it's not convenient to carry folded up in my car. The thing with those, they have brakes. But if the brake goes out, you got brakes. It's called your foot. And the only thing that can really go wrong with them is flat tires. And you can carry a can of Fix-A-Flat and fill it up. You can even buy thorn-proof inner tubes to put on them.
They're kind of a pain to put on, but I've got them.
Yeah, if your car is down or in town, and you're, you know, too far to walk to the store, you know, 8-12 blocks, but you can pop your can on this little scooter or a bike and just get into town, get what you need with a backpack. I can put the handlebar backpack thing on my scooter, and you'd be amazed at how
wagon.
Easy it is.
Yeah, people ought to have a wagon, you know, to carry, not one of these.
No, no, like a garden weight cart.
Yeah, or a garden weight cart or something.
And by the way, we have one of those. They're excellent. They're real easy to pull. They're so well balanced.
We've got one. We got it off of eBay. Come from China. This thing will hold 1,000 pounds, guaranteed. It's got big pneumatic tires. It's about $100. You can also get a smaller version for $30 to $50. But we use it in our garden. And you know, a good sized person can sit in this thing, and it's heavy duty. You know, it's about $100 off of eBay. I think everybody ought to have one of those things.
Well, certainly they should each have a scooter, faster than walking.
Scooter, yeah.
A foot scooter.
Oh yeah, like a
that's what I'm talking about.
Like a skateboard with. Oh yeah, I never would have thought of that.
Well, that's what I just been talking
about. Oh my
gosh, you overgrown twit.
That's like having a skateboard with a handlebars.
Right. Go to the internet. Look them up. They're called push scooters or fat tired push scooters. They've got the little narrow things that the kids was the craze here a couple of years ago. And those are good for pavement and asphalt.
They got motorized scooters now.
Yeah, but then what are you looking at?
They
number
don't.
One, gas. Number two,
yeah.
All the parts to keep going.
Yeah,
I'm talking about you are the part.
They don't have.
You've got only two tires to worry about. A bicycle, you got chains, you got this, and you got that.
Yeah, these motorized scooters now, they don't have any brakes, so they're not.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Three
oh, yeah, people. They do.
And, well, the ones I was looking at, electric scooter. I think this. There's electric scooters that they sell that look like the standard kid scooter, like a skateboard with a stick comes up with handlebars.
Yeah, they got those if you really want them, but that's just dumb to me.
I think
it's an exercise.
I think they would probably work after the gas ran out. They'd probably be foot powered.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
But,
this is true. But then again, what are you doing? You're pushing extra weight around.
Yeah, I'm looking at one on eBay right now. I just put in scooter, and it came back with a whole bunch of different ones. There's all kinds of different scooters.
Yeah, but folks, listen to me. I don't know if there's 2 people listening to me or 100 or 200. I have no idea. But even those are going to rise in price. And right now, they're darn cheap.
They got electric rechargeable scooters.
Yeah, what are you going to do in electricity?
Oh, yeah. Well, these could be used. They got wheels, and it looks like, you know, looks like they've got a thing that engages and can disengage, so you can use them foot powered.
Yeah, but these foot powered scooters, the push scooters.
Yeah.
They run about $110 to $140. That's pretty cheap. Now listen to me, folks. There is another type of scooter. Type this one in, bro. Dog scooters.
Oh, and before we go there, I see. There's one here, it's called a kick scooter.
That's a push scooter.
Okay, yeah, so it's kick scooter, okay. So
Now type in dog scooter.
Dog, and, you know, dog power is great. If you got a large dog that you can carry backpack.
No, it doesn't even take a large dog.
Okay, dog.
Hey, guys, I used to run sled dogs with 3 Cocker Spaniels.
Let's see, dogs?
Their feet would get all balled up with snow. That's why I went to Malamute.
What am I looking for? Dog scooter. I'm on eBay, so but should I just be out on Google looking?
I don't know.
Yeah, dog scooter. What
not only are there dog scooters.
What does it look like?
Well, it looks like a scooter. You can get them with tires even as big as a normal bicycle.
And they're dog powered?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen those.
Or, for that matter, if you've got a scooter, just take a leash and wrap the leash around the lower part of the handlebar, you know, down above the wheel, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
If they have snow dog scooters, they got dog scooters, dog carts, and if you got a goat, my gosh, goats, one of the most famous.
Here we go. It's sled, comma, cart, comma, wagon, comma, dog harness. And so this is the kind of harness. It says it's a brand new carting harness. Fits a 40 to 60 pound dog. It's about, well, $30 right now. But this is, instead of having it around the neck, you'd want to have to pull.
Yeah, it pulls off of the right behind their front leg bone.
Right, it's more like a harness. Yeah, here we go. Here's something called a Yerk dog go kart. Oh, this is.
Oh no, that's a go kart.
Well, it's pulled by a dog though.
Oh.
Pulled by a dog, dog powered. So now we're talking. Yeah, you get a large dog, and you know they love to get out and run.
Oh yeah, most of us don't love to. We'll walk them.
Yeah, a hot dog cart. No, that's not.
Oh, you get hundreds of those when you check in on it.
Yeah. So we're not. Oh, here. Oh, look at this.
Look at dog sulkies. Look at this.
Oh,
cart.
Look, a dog wheelchair.
For dogs that have only one leg or paralyzed hind.
So this search was for dog cart, and isn't that interesting? Oh my God, it's amazing what you can find on eBay. Here's an old wooden goat wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Goat wagon.
And you can get a sulky or a cart that will carry goods. You know, like a little wagon that you can hook up to goats. And if you like goats, goats are real easy to feed. They'll eat anything.
Oh yeah, they goats
and they're pretty quiet. And watch out, some goats are real famous climbers, including on your car. But nevertheless, one of the most famous dog sled teams in Alaska was made up of all goats.
Oh my gosh!
So folks, there's transportation out there that's real cheap. And you're worried about filling up your truck or your car for a 3-mile ride, which is nothing to many dogs.
Well, that's nothing. Well, you know, I used to be emergency services and security officer for the military department, state of Oregon. And, you know, so I knew about preparedness measures. And I got into kind of an argument with a person on my email list saying that a 72-hour kit, well, you know, they said, well, that, you know, something like that just wouldn't work in this Katrina situation. And I said, well, no, wait a minute. I said, you know, they had days notice, hours, and I said, one thing you don't know about that culture down there in New Orleans is they have hurricane parties and a lot, you know. So a hurricane's really not a time to go get drunk or to party. And I said, these people, I said, are the poorest of the poor, given, you know, a year, you know, they could get an old kid's backpack and put a gallon or two of water in there. And
or be a bag lady.
Guy jumped all over me.
Bag over you.
Guy jumped all over me and said, oh, where are they supposed to store it? Where are they supposed to keep it, you know? And I said, well, you know, it's not that big. It's just a little backpack. And anyway, I found out yesterday that the mayor of New Orleans, when they asked everybody to come to the Superdome, they asked everybody to bring 3 days' worth of food and water and to treat it like a camp out. And he said hardly anybody did. And boy, did they suffer for it. Because FEMA has always had a 72-hour rule. I don't understand. I've written Geraldo Rivera and Bill O'Reilly and some of these people and said, look, don't blame FEMA. They've let everybody know forever that it's going to take at least 72 hours for them to respond to anything. And,
yeah, and folks, just on that subject, remember, I think our president and the government could have stepped in quicker, yes. But this is a huge government. I mean, it's, papers have got to be signed, meetings and all that, Jeff. It takes a while. It's, you know, you can either prepare with your 72-hour backpack, and it's like pushing a VW. Or you can wait for the government, and it's like pushing an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
They'll both go down the road,
that's
but
right.
Who's going to have the easiest?
That's right. So, you know, depend on yourself. I don't know where everybody got this idea that we're supposed to depend on the government. I mean, I guess since FDR, everybody's really believed that we're supposed to completely depend on the government. But, you know, that was the biggest...
Brother, I hate to say this, but this is a good training ground for us.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because, you see, they've learned how to herd people into little areas and come to me. We've got water. We've got food. Come to me.
Yeah.
You know? And then you get to them, and then you're in their control. They put you on a bus. They take you somewhere else. Where we're going, don't worry about it. They're going to take you where they want.
Well, Judd Napolitano, was on Bill O'Reilly. I'm not a real conservative, but I do listen to Bill O'Reilly sometimes. And
I've never heard of him.
Napolitano was a federal court judge, and he said, you know, there's no way they can constitutionally make somebody leave their home. He says, and they're going through New Orleans telling people that they have to leave their homes. He says, unless you got a warrant, or unless you can prove that person is somehow, while in their house, endangering people outside their house.
Let's face it. Everyone down there that are wanting to stay are endangering those outside. Because when push comes to shove, they're going to be screaming, come and save me, come and save
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it's a
and
bad...
And these people will come and save them at the risk of getting a cut and getting it infected or whatnot.
Yeah.
Personally, I would say if you want to stay there, that's your business, you sign a release. You are responsible
yep.
from here on in totally for yourself. You have no rights to ask for water or food or medical
yeah.
assistance. And let them stay.
The judge said, you know, constitutionally, he says they can stay. They have the right to die. He says the government doesn't owe them anything. They don't owe them food, water, anything. So if they want to stay, you cannot legally make them leave.
Well,
but you also don't owe them
anything. There are federal, or not federal, but the lower level, state and...
Yeah.
Stuff like that, laws that they have their own laws that supersede the constitutional law. If they want to push it, they'll fight it in court a couple of years after.
And of course, military law cancels everything. You know, the district military commander becomes God at that point.
Yeah.
When you go into martial law, so hey, what
and we will be going into that.
I
tell you the truth, my brother, I feel that there is, I have no idea what it is, but towards the end of this month, something else is going to take place. We are on the edge of economical disaster right
mm-hmm.
now. All it will take is a straw on a camel's back to break it. And if we have another major catastrophe on the backbone of this one, we are flat.
Well, back in June, I believe it was on PBS. It was a movie. It was kind of a docudrama, as if it were happening now. It was called Oil Storm, and it was about a giant hurricane that came. And they're telling us now that most of the rigs were not destroyed out there, but it wasn't the rigs that were destroyed. It was the infrastructure. That as you're getting closer to New Orleans, where they offload the oil, and they said for years and years and years, because of the changes in water level, a lot of those wetlands are drying up, and the pipes apparently were laid in water, and now they're not. I can't exactly remember, but it totally screwed up the ability for tankers to offload oil, and then they had to move the oil offloading to Houston and into the ship channel. And it caught, and then they had a collision because of the channels too. It was just such a big mess. It completely wiped the economy out in this country. Sent us into the worst depression the country's ever seen. And I hope they're going to be replaying that. Folks, watch for a show called Oil Storm. If you're if you get on the Prophecy Keepers weekly email list, I'll let folks know if that show is going to be available to listen or to watch. But Red Ox, right, it wouldn't take much to push this country over.
No, and what are we going to do to save it? Two things. Go completely into the World Bank, literally selling the soil that you and I are walking.
Yep, they'd want.
And calling in the UN, because if another disaster like this happens,
yep,
people are already mad at their government,
yep,
whether it's right or wrong. And, you know, another big one comes by connected to this, or, you know, causing even more pain. There's going to be some uprising. And guess what? We got most of our military overseas.
That's right.
And it'll take a while to get them here. And even if they did, things will go rampant, crazy, madness. We, in my vision, the great vision, we have a madness race across our land. People killing each other. People killing, you know, Mexicans killing Indians. Indians killing whites. Whites killing blacks. It was just crazy.
But did you see the email I sent you? It says Bush surrounds Louisiana with armed Mexican troops.
No, I didn't.
It was an article on Infowars.com. I mean, you know, Ron Paul, the Congressman Ron Paul, I really respect him. He was a little upset about this. But when you read the article, you know, you're talking about maybe 20 to 40 vehicles and a couple hundred troops and that was involved. But the headline says Bush surrounds Louisiana with armed Mexican troops. I'm thinking, man, those 200 guys must be some mean motor scooters if they can surround Louisiana with 200 guys, 400 troops, and maybe a warship. You know?
Well, I tell you the truth. The two things that will happen is go broke by, we won't own the property that we pay our own taxes.
Hey, we're going to own it now.
Well, not really. But nevertheless, the UN, World Bank will own it, and the World Bank owns the UN. And nevertheless, our government will have to call in the UN to help quell the riots that we are going to face very soon as things go on. And we are going to be literally, hey, welcome to the land of Indiandom.
Yeah, we'll be.
You're going to find out
what our own country.
It's like to be an Indian on
a
little reservation.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the Supreme Court this year has made it real clear that not only states but even municipalities can use eminent domain and take your property away if it's for the public good. I mean, hey, wake up, folks. You know, 40, 50 years ago, everybody was saying communism's coming. Well, that's it. You know, when the government can take away your property on a whim, you know.
Yeah, McDonald's wants a hamburger joint right there at your house. And,
it'll
serve more people than you will, so.
That's right.
The public's good.
And I've also seen somebody sent me a map. Apparently, because of the National Heritage River Act, somebody put together a map using all the information from the UN on what areas in this country that they might want to take over based on, you know, well, where's the wetlands, where's the rivers, where's the streams, and the areas where it looked like they're going to let people live are basically the cities and a few large food producing areas, and there wasn't many. It's really
well,
scary.
My brother, we're having fun with this interview, and I hope people are paying attention. By the way, folks, if you can do it, what I'm about to tell you, it's very doable. There are people that do it today. Not many, and not many will ever do it. But if you can go and find say you love apples, go to an apple tree. Go to it. Study it. become as one with it.